Part 3. In this part, you will hear two segments from a radio program. After each segment, you will hear six questions about it. Before each segment begins, you will have time to review the questions. You will hear each segment twice. Then you will hear the questions once. Choose the correct answer A, B, or C. Look at the questions, then listen to the first segment. Now you will hear the first segment.
For years, scientists have been studying communication, and countless theories have been put forward on how humans or animals communicate. Recently, research shed light on the way some animals communicate. Richard Taylor reports.
Our expert today is Dr. Cynthia Mayfield, who will be talking about meerkats, those squirrel-sized, gregarious desert animals. Apparently, meerkats utilize three methods of communication: nonverbal communication, what most of us call body language, sounds, and scents. Dr. Mayfield, can you tell us more about your findings?
Well, Richard, biologists haven't yet cracked the code of meerkat ease to the degree that we can understand nuances and meaning. We have been able to determine, though, that they have an extremely wide sound vocabulary range. For example, they purr to show contentment and attachment. Nervousness makes them chatter, and they squeal when danger approaches. Sounds are also used when meerkats are out hunting and help them coordinate their efforts. As they live in large groups of several families, the dominating female or male will alert the rest of the gang that it's time for foraging for food, by emitting a special call. But these sounds are poles apart from the sounds emitting when danger is drawing near. As we said, meerkats live and forage in large groups, so some of the group members are the lookouts that will warn the rest of danger. When a guard sees a predator, like a hyena, approaching, it will utter a cry of alarm. But this call will be different from the warning yelp given when an eagle is seen circling off in the distance. That's because meerkats have different types of sounds to distinguish where the threat is coming from, land or air. Body language also plays a major role in a dangerous situation. When the lookout meerkat sends out a warning, it stares directly at the threat. By turning their eyes in the direction of the guard's gaze, the rest of the gang can tell which direction the threat is coming from. If the danger is near, the guard will dash into a bolt hole, a hiding place that meerkats dig. That will provide a cue for the remaining gang to run for cover, too.
And your research shows that scent communication is employed exclusively when the issue is territorial dominance. Meerkats tend to be very territorial and demarcate the boundaries of their claimed area by secreting a scent. This scent is generated in the anal glands and is mixed with urine. It may sound obnoxious, but meerkats are hardly the only mammals to mark their territory in such a manner. Our Dogger cat at home does pretty much the same thing.
Exactly, Richard. And though we haven't yet been able to decipher what meerkats chat about in times of relaxation, our research provides an important insight into this animal's communication system.
Now you will hear the segment again.
For years, scientists have been studying communication, and countless theories have been put forward on how humans or animals communicate. Recently, research shed light on the way some animals communicate. Richard Taylor reports.
Our expert today is Dr. Cynthia Mayfield, who will be talking about meerkats, those squirrel-sized, gregarious desert animals. Apparently, meerkats utilize three methods of communication: nonverbal communication, what most of us call body language, sounds, and scents. Dr. Mayfield, can you tell us more about your findings?
Well, Richard, biologists haven't yet cracked the code of meerkat ease to the degree that we can understand nuances and meaning. We have been able to determine, though, that they have an extremely wide sound vocabulary range. For example, they purr to show contentment and attachment. Nervousness makes them chatter, and they squeal when danger approaches. Sounds are also used when meerkats are out hunting and help them coordinate their efforts. As they live in large groups of several families, the dominating female or male will alert the rest of the gang that it's time for foraging for food by emitting a special call. But these sounds are poles apart from the sounds emitting when danger is drawing near. As we said, meerkats live and forage in large groups, so some of the group members are the lookouts that will warn the rest of danger. When a guard sees a predator, like a hyena, approaching, it will utter a cry of alarm. But this call will be different from the warning yelp given when an eagle is seen circling off in the distance. That's because meerkats have different types of sounds to distinguish where the threat is coming from, land or air. Body language also plays a major role in a dangerous situation. When the lookout meerkat sends out a warning, it stares directly at the threat. By turning their eyes in the direction of the guard's gaze, the rest of the gang can tell which direction the threat is coming from. If the danger is near, the guard will dash into a bolt hole, a hiding place that meerkats dig. That will provide a cue for the remaining gang to run for cover too.
And your research shows that scent communication is employed exclusively when the issue is territorial dominance. Meerkats tend to be very territorial and demarcate the boundaries of their claimed area by secreting a scent. This scent is generated in the anal glands and is mixed with urine. It may sound obnoxious, but meerkats are hardly the only mammals to mark their territory in such a manner. Our Dogger cat at home does pretty much the same thing.
Exactly, Richard. And though we haven't yet been able to decipher what meerkats chat about in times of relaxation, our research provides an important insight into this animal's communication system.
Number 39. What haven't scientists done yet regarding meerkat communication? Number 40. Which animals produce sounds similar to those of frightened meerkats? Number 41. Why would the leader of a meerkat group send out a special call? Number 42. What differentiates between meerkat warning sounds? Number 43. How do meerkats learn that the danger is too close for comfort? Number 44. What is the similarity between meerkats and pets? Look at the questions, then listen to the second segment. Now you will hear the second segment.
Space research is an ever-evolving science. NASA, the leading agency responsible for aeronautics and aerospace research, is now considering constructing a type of reflecting telescope which would not view space from the Earth's orbit as conventional telescopes do. Instead, it would peer into the universe from the moon's surface, Olivia Scott reports.
This new special type of telescope is known as the Liquid Mirror Telescope, or LMT, and uses a liquid, not glass, as the primary mirror. The liquid, usually mercury, is poured into a rotating dish, which acts as the ideal reflecting surface for a telescope. Best of all, the liquid mirror's surface remains smooth and flawless, with little or no maintenance. Aerospace engineer Ethan True is here to provide more details.
NASA has shown a keen interest in the Liquid Mirror Telescope because it is of relatively low cost, and what's more, it doesn't need to be cleaned, adjusted, or aluminized. Of course, the major drawback is that mercury is extremely toxic, so working with it can be detrimental to one's health in the long run. Also, the LMT can only look straight up, as the dish holding the mercury can only be tilted so far before the liquid spills out.
To my understanding, the largest LMT on Earth and third largest telescope in North America is the Large Zenith Telescope in British Columbia. The one problem with it, common to all Earth-bound telescopes, is its location. Although it stretches to an altitude of 1,295 feet, the atmosphere shields its view of the heavens. What have aerospace experts found as a solution to this problem?
The key to that would be to place the LMT telescope on the moon, where there is no atmosphere to block ultraviolet, infrared, and other forms of energy. A liquid mirror telescope placed on the moon could provide spectacular results and would also be able to detect more forms of electromagnetic energy, most types of which, except for visible light and radio waves, are absorbed by the Earth's atmosphere. Such a mirror would make it possible to observe objects 100 to 1,000 times fainter than the next generation of telescopes. That means astronomers could use the instrument to peer deeper into space and time than ever before. An added advantage is that, in the low-gravity environment of the moon, it's much easier to build big structures.
However, a lunar liquid mirror telescope is still a concept. The project has received funding from the NASA Institute for Advanced Concepts. Since the agency is interested in demonstrating that lunar outposts would be cost-effective and of great scientific value. Even so, the earliest it could be deployed is 2020. Until then, astronomers will have to be satisfied with liquid mirror telescopes, such as the Large Zenith Telescope, that view the heavens from Earth.
Now you will hear the segment again.
Space research is an ever-evolving science. NASA, the leading agency responsible for aeronautics and aerospace research, is now considering constructing a type of reflecting telescope which would not view space from the Earth's orbit as conventional telescopes do. Instead, it would peer into the universe from the moon's surface, Olivia Scott reports.
This new special type of telescope is known as the Liquid Mirror Telescope, or LMT, and uses a liquid, not glass, as the primary mirror. The liquid, usually mercury, is poured into a rotating dish, which acts as the ideal reflecting surface for a telescope. Best of all, the liquid mirror's surface remains smooth and flawless, with little or no maintenance. Aerospace engineer Ethan True is here to provide more details.
NASA has shown a keen interest in the Liquid Mirror Telescope because it is of relatively low cost, and what's more, it doesn't need to be cleaned, adjusted, or aluminized. Of course, the major drawback is that mercury is extremely toxic, so working with it can be detrimental to one's health in the long run. Also, the LMT can only look straight up, as the dish holding the mercury can only be tilted so far before the liquid spills out.
To my understanding, the largest LMT on Earth and third largest telescope in North America is the Large Zenith Telescope in British Columbia. The one problem with it, common to all Earth-bound telescopes, is its location. Although it stretches to an altitude of 1,295 feet, the atmosphere shields its view of the heavens. What have aerospace experts found as a solution to this problem?
The key to that would be to place the LMT telescope on the moon, where there is no atmosphere to block ultraviolet, infrared, and other forms of energy. A liquid mirror telescope placed on the moon could provide spectacular results and would also be able to detect more forms of electromagnetic energy, most types of which, except for visible light and radio waves, are absorbed by the Earth's atmosphere. Such a mirror would make it possible to observe objects 100 to 1,000 times fainter than the next generation of telescopes. That means astronomers could use the instrument to peer deeper into space and time than ever before. An added advantage is that in the low-gravity environment of the moon, it's much easier to build big structures.
However, a lunar liquid mirror telescope is still a concept. The project has received funding from the NASA Institute for Advanced Concepts. Since the agency is interested in demonstrating that lunar outposts would be cost-effective and of great scientific value. Even so, the earliest it could be deployed is 2020. Until then, astronomers will have to be satisfied with liquid mirror telescopes, such as the large Zenith telescope, that view the heavens from Earth.
Number 45. What is the report mainly about? Number 46. In what way is the liquid inside an LMT better than a mirror? Number 47. What is the problem with the liquid inside an LMT? Number 48. What is one disadvantage of the LMT in British Columbia? Number 49. Why does the lunar LMT seem an attractive option? Number 50. What is NASA not trying to prove by building a lunar LMT? End of the listening test.